Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Then Moses asked God, "If I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what should I tell them?" God replied to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you." Say this to the Israelites: Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is how I am to be remembered in every generation."
John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. There was a man from the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one could perform these signs you do unless God were with them." Jesus replied, "I assure you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." "But how can anyone be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked him. "Can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born?" Jesus answered, "I assure you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I have told you that you must be born again. The wind blows where it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit."
As Martina said to us this morning, we are beginning a new Sunday morning topic, as it were. We are about to begin talking about the Holy Spirit, which may not be everyone's cup of tea, because sometimes Holy Spirit discussions can go off in so many different directions. Holy Spirit discussions can even go cattywampus to places we would prefer not to go, depending on who we are and depending on where we may have come from. Sometime, check out the Bible books of 1 and 2 Corinthians about that church. That was a cattywampus church. So, have some courage, folks. Cattywampusing goes on in the Bible, I'm telling you. A couple of things to begin. One, you may have already noticed this morning's title, Holy Spirit, Two Unsettling Scriptures. And I don't know if a title like that makes you rootsy or not. Sorry, rootsy is a Pennsylvania Dutch word meaning squirmy, like a 7-year-old 49 minutes into an hour-long sermon. Unsettled. Quit rootsing around, my father used to say. So that's one thing. Holy Spirit, two unsettling scriptures is our starting point. And two, if you read under the Toward Sunday tab this week, you read my blurb about Mennonites and Jesus, how we here at Marion have done a lot of Jesusing over the last number of years, and on purpose, I will admit, we have done Jesus geography, we have done the hard sayings of Jesus, the parables of Jesus, Jesus people, and look at what we've just completed, a full 14 weeks on the way of Jesus. We have been Jesus around here for a long time. Holy Spiriting, not as much. So we're likely breaking some new ground here. All right. This morning I want to begin using a different format with my testimony. Often testimonies are reserved for other times and other places, sometimes for what comes after the sermon, sharing time maybe, in a sort of what else can be said, a sermon response a testimony can be. So, my testimony, my sermon, not so much. A I want to go out on a testimony limb, because maybe the only way one can truly talk about the Holy Spirit is to say, what happened? What happened to me? I mean, one cannot visibly see the Holy Spirit. Jesus at least had skin on, had the human form of a Palestinian man. He said stuff. Jesus did stuff. Those who are no longer here, we can at least kind of grab hold of some of Jesus. The Holy Spirit, yeah, not so easy. So I will tell you of one of my experiences of my call to ministry. It is my experience, and it is my experience only. I will tell you about it, and I will let it rest right there. It begins on the playground of New Milford Elementary School in the spring of 1960, I think. It was during a noon recess one day that a baseball bat came flying out of nowhere and cracked me right in the noggin. His name was John Beaver, and the bat had slipped clean out of his hands and fractured my skull. I never felt a thing. I was completely knocked out. I was in the second grade, having my first ride in an ambulance, having my first hospital experience, having my first television experience in the hospital playroom, having two surgeries on my head, one to remove bone shards off my brain, the second to install a plastic plate the size of a silver dollar in my skull. It's right there. And it's usually at this part of the tale where some jokester will say, blow to the head, huh? Well, that certainly explains a lot of things about you. It's okay. It's okay. I know they're joking. At least I think they're joking. Fast forward 10 years after that, a full 10 years into 1970 at the Mennonite Youth Convention at Lake Junaluska, North Carolina. I would say that my experience of growing up in church was, I don't know, apathetic, maybe at best. I did not hate church, nor did I particularly love it. It was there. There was an expectation to go to church. My friends were there. Some girls were there. VBS brought in even more girls. I really did like VBS volleyball for that reason. I was a high school junior at the youth convention that year there in Lake Junaluska, mainly to get out of town, to get out of Susquehanna County, to play softball games, to check out the girls, to continue my pranking nature so common in many Mennonite young men. I was a bit of a goofball who on most days was also trying to be good, trying to fit in, trying to be faithful, trying to see where my teenage questions would take me. So at this youth convention, they had this thing called TIO groups. TIO stands for Talk It Over. I found this group to be more of an obligation to be endured before softball would commence. Our TIO leader was a woman named June Lichty. And I suppose there were things that we did talk over, but I remember none of them to this day. It was at the end of a TIO session that we'd have this prayer time, all of us sitting around on the ground in a circle, and we were supposed to go around the circle, each offering a prayer request that we might have. And for me, it was one of those moments that is foisted upon you, when introversion joins with faith obligation and my mind raced for something to say when it was my turn. And so I said, I had this baseball bat accident when I was a kid, a blow to the head which very well could have killed me, but it didn't. Sometimes I wonder why this accident, why I'm still here, I said. And then June went around and prayed a prayer for each of us seated on the ground, and it was really nice, and she prayed over me, Lord, someday give Blaine the reason for his preservation, and that was that. We were done, off to the softball field, off to convention, and never again did the subject come up. Fast forward again about 20 more years. Plenty of life can go by in a 20-year span, and it did for me. 2 years of college, getting married almost the way you're supposed to get married. 2 children, 1 boy, 1 girl, and all their hermit crabs and their gerbils and dogs and cats and geckos and gardening and lawn mowing. 12 years of dairy farming with my dad, 8 years into taking over the family farm, which did feel like putting down the roots of a family responsibility. 20 years of farming, life develops a rhythm all of its own. Spring, summer, fall, winter, cows, applesauce, wrestling matches, and piano recitals, and church. And so one weekend in the early 90s, in November, I think, at the invitation of Pastor Bill, a group of people from a vineyard church in Massachusetts came to our church at Lakeview. Pastor Bill was interested in the healing ministry of the church at the time, and so this was going to be an equipping weekend. And during that weekend, this woman named Mary kept looking my way, which when you catch someone staring at you more than once can seem just the least bit creepy. And so after one session, she comes over to Connie and me and said, sitting there in our pew, she said, I just feel like I need to pray with you two. And ever the dutiful firstborn, I shrugged and said, okay, it will soon be chore time. Let's get this thing done. And so Mary, this Mary Simons from Massachusetts, gently rests her hands on my shoulder and begins to pray. Blaine, there's a reason for your preservation. And to this day, I have no idea where she pulled that phrase. From the sky? Did she know June Lichty? Or was she somehow channeling the spirit of the universe? But something was up. And I decided it was door number three, the spirit of the universe. And she kept on praying that I would have the courage to accept what God was calling me towards. And eventually the vineyard group went back home, and I went back to farming, a little wobbly for the wear, but back to the barn because cows really don't wait very long. It was a number of weeks later, I was Christmas shopping with Miss Connie at the Oakdale Mall in Johnson City, New York. That was back when shopping malls actually had stores and people in them. There were scads of holiday shoppers. And after shopping for a couple of hours, we decided to take a break from the crowds in a Friendly's ice cream store. And we took the only available seats they had left there in the smoking section at the counter. Yes, there used to be smoking sections in restaurants. And we hadn't been seated very long before this waitress with a name tag that said Mary wiped off the counter in front of us and took our orders of a Jim Dandy for Miss Connie and a Swiss almond chocolate sundae for me. And she came back with our ice cream, set them down in front of us, and asked, "Are either of you Sunday school teachers?" Which did seem like an odd question in the middle of a crowded ice cream bar filled with smoke. But I answered, "I am. I sometimes do the adult class." And she looked at me and said, "You would do well to be a pastor. In this generation, God is calling out pastors to do God's work. You should be one." And it was one of those moments when you start looking around to see where this is coming from. If she knew June Lichty from North Carolina or Mary Simons from Massachusetts, or if she was somehow channeling the spirit of the universe. And I again chose to believe it was door number three, the spirit of the universe. All I knew that my favorite ice cream sundae was difficult to swallow, and the car ride home from the mall that December afternoon was filled with wonder and two spinning heads and one very set of wobbly knees. There was one more Mary, a third, a Catholic friend of ours who had the patience to listen to our experiences, and she said, "Yeah, I think that's the Holy Spirit." And she encouraged us, even though she knew that we would move away, and we did. And in 1992, we moved away to do seminary. Earlier, we heard two scriptures read aloud for us. One was a conversation between God, or at least a voice that was coming from a burning bush, and Moses, the voice and Moses. And when Moses asked the voice to get specific and asked the burning bush voice its name, the answer came back, "I am who I am. Tell your people, I am has sent me to you. That is my name forever. I am." Which is not a name that I'd give to my children. We named our son Aaron, not he will be who he will be. We named our daughter Rebecca, not she am, not she will be who she will be. This name, I am, the eternal power of the universe called I am what I am, seems more of a verb than a noun. And I think that's what's behind the ancient inscription we call the Ten Commandments. Don't try to form God into any kind of shape, because God does not pose long enough for a picture the way we'd like our God to be posed. In the other scripture lesson, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and the sun went down, and Jesus is telling him about two possible births. The first one, where we come out of our mom's water surroundings and start sucking for air, and not too many of us will remember that first one, that birth, or our first breath. But maybe that is part of what Jesus finds Nicodemus, what Nicodemus finds so troubling, that there can be also a second birth. Other times in life where we might see the need to start sucking air again for a second time. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit, Jesus tells him. And then Jesus says a most unnerving thing, that the Holy Spirit is more like the wind. It blows where it chooses. You cannot see it. You do not know where it comes from, but where it will go next, but still you know it's there. And we're often quick to blame children for being too literal, too concrete in their thinking. But how many of us adults would prefer a concrete God that stays put, for God to be a noun God, an object we can pray to, not a power we can pray with? How many of us prefer God to be cloaked in a holy aura of predictability? It's really weird when I walk into the cemetery of Franconia Mennonite Church where my grandfathers and grandmothers are buried. I sometimes think irreverent thoughts while I'm there. I know how hard they all tried to keep things the same, to keep things roped in. That church that tried keeping my father from entering a voluntary service assignment in Philadelphia for the fear that he'd never come back home to the fold. For my other grandfather, keeping my Uncle Willard from traveling to EMC to take a 3-week Bible course to learn new things. I think sometimes if my grandparents would roll out of their graves for one day and to look around and to see what happened in the last 100 years, I have this irreverent thought that they'd probably scramble right back into their graves because the changes they saw would be too great. And then I find myself wondering if my grandchildren will think the same thing about me. Wow. Bet if Pop Detweiler came rolling out of his grave, he'd look around and jump right back in. Heck, I already have the 65-year-old grumpies, and I'm still here on the earth. It seems to be a thing with most of us humans, this concerted effort to keep things the same, which makes Jesus' Holy Spirit talk all the more unsettling, because this Holy Spirit does not sit still, has no permanent shape, has no skin. Blows like the wind we cannot see, it goes and it comes, so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit, Jesus says. So we begin this 6 weeks of Holy Spirit conversation. I cannot tell you everything there is to know about the Holy Spirit. It would be absurd to try. I can only tell you of my experience, which is only one. But I'd say from my experiences, the Holy Spirit met me where I was, in a church building, but also inside a smoke-filled ice cream shop, in the middle of farming, smack dab in the middle of my 30s, met me there. Sometimes we get the impression that we need to posture ourselves in such a way that will induce the Holy Spirit to come to us, that we need to somehow ramp up our faithometer, attain a perfect star in the attendance roster of our church for the Holy Spirit to come close. That has not been my experience. I'd also like to say that the Holy Spirit has been known to have a surprise factor. Not always, but some ways, some days. That if the Holy Spirit does move like the wind, sometimes it will catch us in its wake and move us off center, move us along to a new life, to a new place in life, sometimes to a new place on this earth in life, which is unsettling. You can ask Connie, you can ask Becky, you can ask Walter, our yowling cat. Unsettling, but also filled with wonder. At least that is my experience. I'd also say that the Holy Spirit is cosmic in nature, that is, so much larger and more varied than we can think or imagine. My experience was one, and only one, more like a wind rushing into my stuck life to move it along. For God's sake, do not try to mimic it. Do not try to standardize it. That would be wrong. The Holy Spirit of the universe will interact with each of us differently, sometimes in a robust and rushing fashion, sometimes even in strange languages that we do not understand. But at other times and in other persons, ever so gently, in steps so small that it will hardly be noticeable at all, like a stilled breeze, like a zephyr, like the puff of breath at the crack of dawn, so gentle, but no less powerful in the subtle changes that come to move us into the deeps of our faith. I will be who I will be, said the ancient voice coming from the bush. And that's worth remembering. Do not shape me, do not confine me to an image, is an ancient instruction. And that is where we begin, and worth remembering on our Holy Spirit journeys. Ready or not, here I come, the Holy Spirit says.